Speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Also, Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission, and also individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99 and Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County to allow applicants to seek an extension of time for approvals for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential planned community districts upon written request.
I'll take this one.
Okay, sir.
This was introduced by County Council fairly recently. As you know, there were blanket extensions given for certain plan approvals. Those extensions are through December 31 of this year. Yeah, there's been requests that have been received by council and by staff from developers that in many cases, not all of them, but in many cases are close to the finish line. You know, they, for whatever reason, maybe don't have one agency approval or, you know, there's circumstances that have held them up from getting, say, a final site plan approved or being under substantial construction. And so what council has asked staff to do is prepare And they're getting requests for those extensions. And so rather than consider them on an ad hoc basis, council wanted a process to be established that would sort of tell people what they need to do to request those extensions. So that's what this does. And the idea behind it is that you have to request it in writing. You have to give reasons for it that are fairly specific and outside of your control. You have to give an outline of what steps you've taken up to this point, as well as sort of an estimated plan for what steps need to be done to complete it and when you think you'll get those completed, and that sort of thing, and the reason, you know, for why you need the extension. With that information in hand, staff, planning and zoning staff, and probably also with the involvement of Public Works from County Engineering, will review the information, make a recommendation to County Council, and then County Council will ultimately decide whether to grant the extensions or not. So this doesn't grant any extensions, it just sets that framework up for what's going to happen, and so that people are on notice, okay, this is the type of information I need to supply. The idea behind it is, you know, the county and council wants to make sure that, you know, it's just not a project that sat for 5 years and nobody's done anything on it, and then, oh my goodness, now at the last minute you want to revive it. They want a showing that there's been work that's been done on it, that you're almost there, or for reasons outside of your control that are legitimate, you know, it got held up along the way. So there's going to be some scrutiny applied to that, and it's not going to be, certainly not going to be a blanket extension, and there's certainly no guarantee that because you ask for it, you're going to get it. But that's a little bit down the road. This just sets up that process.
Okay.
And we need to act on it, I would say, if possible, tonight, because County Council is going to hear it on Tuesday. And if either one of those two get delayed, we put us past the December 31 deadline, right. So it sort of makes the whole thing moot.
Well, let's check. I understand it, and I'm prepared to act on it. I want to hear if anyone from the public has anything to say. But first, let me ask our fellow commissioners if you have any questions for our council before we solicit comments from the public.
Mr. Chairman, if I might weigh in, I've got to talk about every one of these motions tonight. But in reviewing this information, correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that it removes the Planning and Zoning Commission from that process.
That is true, and there was some discussion about that internally, and it was actually raised by one of the applicants. And there was a concern that because the extension ordinances themselves were acts of council, that to be clear that there wasn't a question of authority. You know, the commission had done it in the past, but because those later extensions were acts of council, to extend the act of council would have to go back to council. So we kind of took a harder look at that, and rather to be better safe than sorry, just leave it at the council level.
So, but I mean, that was my feeling. I just want to make sure that in reading through all this, that
yeah,
fact was
welcome to it.
was the intent. And
yeah, no, that's the intent. Yeah.
Okay.
And Ms. Cornwell or Mr. Lank or Mr. Brandway, if you have anything to add to it, you know, the explanation. So.
That's pretty much what I observed over the last several years over the time extensions. It was commission used to grant time extensions on an individual basis, mm-hmm. and we sometimes did them repeatedly, annually, year after year after year. And then when the economy went way down, there was a thought of the council to give consideration to a time extension for more than 1 year rather than have the commission fight these battles on each individual case. So they granted a blanket. The first one was in 2011, was granted for approximately 18 months. It went to December 31st or January 1st of 2013. And then at that time, there was another extension that granted for 3 more years. And now we're starting to see the applications coming back for new applications. And we're also seeing all these time extensions running out. And at the last minute, at midnight, all of a sudden, everybody's trying to get their projects in order, realizing they could lose their project and have to start over. So it was on council on both occasions, both time extensions, a total of 4.5 years.
And in some cases, you know, to give you, like, there's obviously the extreme where people haven't done anything, but there's also the situation where our last meeting's next Wednesday, you know, and theoretically you could have something in the works through the end of the year, but you wouldn't have a meeting after next Wednesday to get your final site plan approved. So there are legitimate reasons in some cases to grant these.
But isn't that same thing going to happen in 6 months if they get an extension?
That's a council decision, but right now I think if I had to read the tea leaves, I would say that it's not going to happen in 6 months. If you don't have it in 6 months, you're out of luck. This is not designed to extend beyond 6 months. And I think that's going to be something that staff's going to look at too, in terms of whether to recommend granting the approval. If it's something that clearly is going to take still years to accomplish that you can't get done in 6 months, that's probably a factor that's going to be taken into consideration. And that was one of the reasons for the schedule of completion that's referenced in the ordinance.
And I think it's important that it has to be something that was truly out of the applicant's control and could not have been reasonably anticipated. We have a situation right now with our stormwater management regulations that nobody knows what to do. And that's not anything that is happening even at our level. That's a state agency that has to get that sorted out, and that could, you know, that could take some, certainly take some time, but it certainly isn't designed for any other purpose other than, you know, what you might call an extreme situation where there really was a hardship, and I think that's fair. And if I were a betting man, I would think you might get 6 months, but you would never get another one. I think this is, because, you know, if you've had 5 years to do it,
right,
you know, but at least this lease at least acknowledges that there could be a circumstance where someone could have a legitimate hardship. And I think on that basis.
There was one thought that when they did the second extension, and it almost became a part of that extension, was that there would be a reference in the extension that this is the last extension.
That's right.
But it wasn't incorporated.
Right.
That would have resolved this issue.
They
probably would have come in earlier if that was the case.
Right.
Well, and I think as part of this process too, council is going to be the one that grants the extension. It's within their authority to say, we are granting you 1 6-month extension, and that is it on each individual basis, to make that clear as well.
Any other comments or questions?
I just have a concern that it's dumping a lot more on our director, because it states in here that it's up to our director to consult with, you know, the other departments and other agencies, as well as to submit the written request. So perhaps it might be, we could consider having it as a director or his designee.
We've already worked that out. So, I mean, it's going to be a whole staff.
It's staff.
Yeah.
Okay. So
kind of under his letter.
County staff can also refer to other offices within the county government, which is Public Works, and we depend on them to give us information anyway. And Conservation District gives us information, and Del Dot. I mean, we still deal with all these agencies.
So that would fall under number two, that says a director after consultation with an input from other county departments.
Yeah.
So that would enable you to perhaps have some of the other PZ staff weighing in on it.
Yeah, and we've talked about the process of that, but nothing bolts.
Just don't want to run Mr. Lank out on a rail.
We are going to be here till midnight on December 31 with a big table, all this stuff spread. No, we're not.
Looking out for our director, that's all.
I can say it's good. We have already received 28 or 30 time extension requests. And there may be a few more before December 31st. It all depends on what the action taken by council would be, or commission and the council is taken next year.
Weren't we given up to 3-year extensions prior to the blanket extension?
Well, you get, it depends on what you're applying for. Like, a conditional use is 3 years. A preliminary site plan on the subdivision is 3 years to get your final, and your final gets you 5 years. So
your final gets recorded, you got 5 years.
Yeah, right.
So I understand the 6 months given the circumstances of the blanket extension, but I think the council is going to either end up modifying that at some point to a longer extension, because when the market was really percolating under a lesser regulatory format, stormwater management-wise, developers were having trouble meeting those deadlines then. And so 5 years sounds like a lot, but it's really, time flies when you're having fun. And my concern is that regulatory agencies might discover that all they have to do is stonewall an application to put it out of compliance to stop a project. And so, not saying they would do that, because they're much more genuine and honest than that, but nevertheless, to solve this short-term issue of the blanket extension, the 6 months certainly is reasonable, because it had the 5 years plus another how many. But down the road, this ordinance lives. And then I can see circumstances where 6 months is not going to be adequate.
I agree with what you're saying, Mr. Ross. I think there's certain regulatory authorities right now that are in a state of flux due to some court issues that are involved right now that may or may not be resolved in the next 6 month period of time. And even if it is resolved in courts, if there's any changes that are required of those regulations, that'll take time for those changes to come into play. So, you know, is realistically 6 months adequate? You know, should we be recommending a longer period of time given some of the legal battles that we're aware of that are currently in place?
Hello, can you figure that out? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, then. Is there anyone here this evening that would, with an interest in this this ordinance, who would like to speak either for or against or undecided? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Come up here?
Yes, right there. Give us your name and you may have the floor.
My name is Jimmy Lee, and I'm trying to get an extension on a project just south of Milford called Deer Creek. And this agency, when things were booming, it took probably 3 or 4 years to get the project approved. And then the bank, Wilmington Trust, as you all know, disappeared, which the project was funded by. And then the economy crashed. Okay, and my thoughts were to do affordable type housing projects, houses that were under $200,000 complete, and I'm looking for an extension. I've already got everything in place to move forward with this project now, and I have the funding in place with another bank, and I understand you guys were, you know, when things were booming, it was pretty busy and there was a lot going on. You guys had a lot on your plate, but now not so much. And I think we have too much regulation to start with. I understand you're trying to protect, you know, Sussex County, but we have a lot of people that don't have housing, that don't make a lot of money in Sussex County, and they're paying crazy rents. And in houses that don't even have heat, where they could buy a new home. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2036, Jimmy Kellogg.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR, General Residential District, for parking of employee vehicles and vans for a cleaning service business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 22,323 square feet, more or less. Property is located northeast of Field Lane, a subdivision street, 200 feet southeast of Muncie Branch Road, being Road 270A. The 911 address is 36181 Field Lane, Rehoboth Beach. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 873. For the benefit of the public, the commissioners have received copies of the proposed survey site plan of this application within their packet. And for the record, the applicant did provide a survey of the lots depicting the improvements as they exist on the property and a sketch of the driveways on the property. We did receive comments from DLDOT on July 30th, 2015, in the form of a support facilities report and referencing that a traffic impact study was not required, that the current level of service B of Muncie Branch Road will not change as a result of this application. The Conservation District also provided comments on December 9, 2015 in the form of a memorandum, and they referenced that the site has two soil types, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, that no off-site drainage improvements will be required, and that it is not likely that any on-site drainage improvements will be required. We also heard from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division yesterday, December 9, 2015, and they referenced that the site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area. that wastewater capacity is available if the proposed use does not exceed approximately one equivalent dwelling unit of sewer assessment. That the planning study and design assumption for the parcel is one EDU equivalent dwelling unit based on the residential use on a residentially zoned parcel of less than 1 acre. That if the proposed use is expected to exceed one EDU, additional information should be provided in a capacity review completed prior to approval. That ordinance 38 construction is not required. That the current system connection charge rate is $5,775 per equivalent dwelling unit. That the parcel was provided with a 6-inch lateral located along the parcel's frontage on Field Lane, and the existing home is connected to the sewer system. That conformity to the West Rehoboth expansion area planning study will be required, and that a concept plan is not required for this application. We also received two letters have been received to date in opposition to this application, and they reference that the properties in the area are residentially zoned. That the applicant should seek another location where commercial uses are permitted. That spot zoning causes future applications for other business commercial uses. That the use has existed for approximately 4 years. That the business has continued to grow, causing more vehicles to and from the site. That traffic occurs all day long in and out of the property. That there are at least 5 company vehicles and employee vehicles on site. That at any time there could be 10 or more vehicles coming and going. That the paved portion of the property seems to grow, and the front yard is very little space that is unpaved. That parking has recently been added that could accommodate at least another 10 vehicles. That the applicants are receiving large commercial truck deliveries of cleaning supplies at this location on neighborhood streets, and that depreciation of property values is a concern. Gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. All right, then, is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, sir.
All righty, well, come on up here and get your name, and you may have the floor.
Good evening.
I'm Jimmy Kellogg. I live at 36181 Field Lane, Rehoboth Beach. I own the cleaning company. My wife owns the cleaning company. I just have a couple notes here. First, we certainly care about our neighbors, our neighborhood. We have always done all we can to not bother or intrude on them. Our first complaint was about too much traffic. So we addressed the concern immediately by stopping all unnecessary traffic. We're a small business that certainly could not afford a storefront. Our family depends on, you know, our business. Our employees depend on the business. We have probably 12 full-time employees that their families, without a doubt, would be greatly affected if we couldn't continue to live in our house and operate how we have been. Our clients and community depend on us. After our first complaint, we added to our driveway, because without a doubt we did have one straight in driveway, and we have 3 work vehicles that our crews use. I own a vehicle, my wife owns a vehicle, so we do have 5 vehicles on a property. We have 3 employees that come drop off their vehicle and pick up a work vehicle. So under normal circumstances, there's not a lot of traffic. We have, after we got our first complaint, apparently we got 2 complaints. Our second complaint happened during us trying to satisfy traffic. So we added a horseshoe driveway in our front yard to accommodate, just to make it easier, versus just having one driveway to back out. Now we have an entrance and an exit. Without a doubt, we spent a lot of money on our driveway to accommodate our neighborhood. We've constantly made improvements on our house and our property. The appearance, the curb appeal certainly makes our neighborhood enjoyable. We've always and will always do whatever is necessary to satisfy and comply with whatever needs to be done. And certainly stay on the good sides of our neighbors, the city. We don't have any clients that come to our home. I want to call it a storefront. It's not a storefront. I mean, this is our personal home that we certainly don't attempt to attract traffic. We don't want it. We have right across the street from us, there's 200 feet away, there's a property that has a building with three storefronts in it. Whether that makes any difference to us, but certainly the same amount of traffic that could possibly come from there would come from us, which is minimal. Our property, we've made it so it is without a doubt suitable for the minimal request we have for parking our three vehicles and being able to satisfy our three employees that come and switch out vehicles and then leave and go to work. Three employees come to our house and pick up the vehicles, they go to another parking lot and meet the rest of the crew just for another way to keep down on whatever traffic could become a nuisance to the neighbors. And we certainly don't want to become that nuisance. So without a doubt, we feel like we've done a lot, and we'll certainly do whatever else is necessary to accommodate any concerns. I believe that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, so let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Keller, just to clarify, as I understand it from your presentation, is you have the three work vehicles that are kept on your property.
Four transits,
okay. Yeah. And of those vehicles, you only have one employee comes and picks it up.
No, well, one employee comes to pick up each vehicle.
Each vehicle, right.
So three employees would
Three other non-family members parking on your property.
Yes, sir.
And so rather than having all 12 full-time employees showing up at your house and then loading up in the vans, what I'm hearing you say is that those three individuals who pick up the vehicles then travel off-site and pick up their co-workers.
Which is at Kmart parking lot or Food Lion parking lot.
Okay, and then from there they then go to their various work sites to do their business.
Yes, sir.
And that was your way of stopping the unnecessary traffic.
And yes.
And as well as solving a parking issue.
My wife just brought up pictures of our front yard, of our driveway. I mean,
if you would like for them to be submitted into the record, if you would hand them to our attorney and he'll pass them down. Now, before you hand them off, I want you to know, once you hand them off, they're gone. They're going to stay in the house.
Yeah, they'll be part of the record.
Okay, we're going to give them back. They'll be in the file. You can come look at them anytime you want.
So there's pictures of your grandchildren.
8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday, state and federal holidays accepted.
We make copies and can provide the photos after
the
60-day appeal period after decision is rendered.
That's unnecessary.
Have you given any consideration to talking with the folks that have the auto repair shop and the two other office, whatever they are, businesses, another building of being able to park your work vehicles there?
I have not had a conversation with them about it. I mean, it's a small building that has three properties or three stores, and I'd almost say the parking, I mean, it's very minimal. I mean, I haven't spoken with anybody about anything.
Yeah, I noticed there was not a whole lot of space available there either, but given the nature of how your vehicles are come and go, yeah, they go for the work site. I didn't know if that had been explored with them or not. And what are your work hours normally?
Typically 8 o'clock until, I mean, any crew could potentially be done at any given time throughout the day. So normally 8 o'clock till 3, 4, 5 o'clock.
Okay. So pretty much before 8, nobody's there, and after 5, nobody's there.
I couldn't say nobody would be there before 8, but on a normal work week, it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, but without a doubt, you know, possibly somebody could come at 7 o'clock.
Okay. If they have a special project that needs something. What I heard in one of the letters there was concern about truck traffic, delivering supplies and of that nature. How often do you receive deliveries at your house?
Possibly twice a month. But those deliveries that were taking place, we were cleaning for a company, Social Security Administration, and those trucks were delivering paper towels, whatever possible cleaning products. We no longer clean for them. So that normal twice a month possible delivery no longer takes place. Not to say that periodically we might not get a delivery of some sort, but it would be minimal and it wouldn't even necessarily pertain to the cleaning company.
What would it be pertaining to?
I only say that just because we live there and it's just our family home. Maybe it'd be
UPS,
maybe it'd be a gift for, who knows?
So your testimony, though, is that those regular deliveries are no longer happening?
Correct.
But it's always possible that you could have another contract with another big outfit, and that could restart again as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what days are your employees working?
At least Monday through Friday, possibly Saturday and Sunday. In the summertime, without a doubt, on Saturday. And we have been known to clean on Sundays.
So the weekends is more as needed. Well, summertime, obviously, is Saturdays. But
it's not more than 7 days a week.
It's not more than 7 days a week.
Okay, we'll make sure.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Chairman. I needed that. I was losing count. I have no further questions at this point.
Okay, then, Mr. Burton.
I understand the application. I have no questions.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Kellogg. I see on the property description, one of the descriptions, I guess this is Phase 2, Section 3, Kyrie Estates. Do we know, were there restrictive covenants that come into play with this?
I haven't looked at them, so I couldn't say. I can. I mean, if you wanted to defer action on it tonight for me to take a look at, I'd be glad to do that.
What I'm asking was, I was curious if in the subdivision, when it was recorded, if there were some homeowners' restrictive covenants that may be preemptive of what it is that you're trying to do. We're not aware of any. Are you aware of any?
I'm not aware of any. I know when we moved in there 5 years ago, I mean, there wasn't a homeowners association, so I didn't think there was many regulations that could possibly take place, mm-hmm. but concern's been shown, so we're here tonight.
It might just bear looking into to see if there was a deed restriction. That's all the question I have.
Okay. All right. According his personal deed doesn't really make any reference to any deed restriction. Not saying there aren't any. A lot of cases, the deed recorded and the attorney that writes the deed might just say subject to deed restriction or record, but it doesn't tell you where they are. You got to go research and try to find them. Vince can verify that, but that's a normal thing sometimes,
yeah, that's true.
Especially with this one.
Looking at,
we tried, we staff tried to find and see if there was a deed restriction. We didn't find it. You're not saying that there weren't. Right. So something would have to be researched to verify. And then in your, you can tell by looking at that settlement. Normally, settlement sheets show that there were deed restrictions.
Yeah, not necessarily, though.
But not necessarily, that's true. I don't have anything else in the record other than what I've already read.
I just want to make sure, Vince, do you have how many employees, how many company trucks, the number?
Yeah, Lawrence does too. We'll have that in the minutes, and I have it as well.
Because that impacts the site plan and how many parking spaces you're going to have.
Right.
And when my wife and I rode by your place this morning, you know, it could be a tight squeeze for you on the site plan issue of squeezing all those parking spaces in the space that you have.
Right.
Just so you realize that.
What you have on a site plan is that, for one, you have a residence. That's two parking spaces. That's required by code. Then we have to take into consideration your conditional use and how many employees that would come to and from the site. And then we have to count, figure out the parking requirements for that. But it makes it tight, especially with your driveways.
Well, the driveway is certainly suitable to park. I mean, I could only imagine at least 10 vehicles.
You have basically a parking lot. You can't back out into a public road except for residential use. Conditional use have to have method of drive a driveway with parking spaces that are controlled so they can drive in or and or out.
And
that's the difficulty of it.
So when I heard your testimony of 12 employees plus a few company trucks or whatever, I'm starting to do some numbers in my head and riding by your place. I'm thinking by code you're going to have a problem. Well, it's going to be fun probably to meet code and get all the parking spaces you need. It's kind of a good problem in a way because as a small business, you're growing and that's cool. But the reason for the code is to encourage small businesses to grow and then move to approach appropriate commercial places as well. And so it's always, everybody on this commission is self-employed or has been self-employed.
Right. You know?
And so we understand the issues that you run against, but there's community issues as well, and that's why the code is the way it is.
And I certainly understand that, and without a doubt, respect that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a neighbor just like all my other, you know, neighbors are neighbors.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
All right, then, Ms. Cornwell?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Brandaway?
No.
Okay, Mr. Lang?
Just one question. This is based on something you said. You said your employees park in the Kmart parking lot and Food Line parking lot?
Yes, sir.
Does the Kmart and Food Line know that you're parking in their parking lot?
I have not had a conversation with them, no, sir.
They know now.
They probably know now. That's not unusual.
No?
It's not unusual that other people park in public parking lots.
It seems unusual. I mean, we've noticed that it takes place, and it never seemed to be a problem, and there seemed to be adequate room to do so, so... I mean, if there was ever a concern that was addressed to us, without a doubt, we would attempt to rectify it.
As long as you're not blocking the door.
But you and your staff, but you and your staff most likely cater to the Kmart and the Food Line.
Well, we don't, yes, without a doubt. We cater to them, and our attempt would be to not interrupt anybody's flow or, you know, get in anybody's way. And if a problem comes up, it would be our responsibility to resolve that. And without a doubt, we would do that.
All right, then. Counselor.
No questions. Thanks.
All right, sir. We thank you very much. You take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2036, Jimmy Kellogg? In favor? Sure. Come on up.
My name is Jennifer Kellogg, and my address is 36181 Field Lane, Rehoboth. I just want to
address he gave.
Yes, it's my husband.
Oh, okay.
I just Jimmy works a full-time job somewhere else, so obviously he doesn't know everything. So I wanted to make sure that I clarified a few things. At any given time,
the same thing about me. I don't know everything.
At any given time. We can track by GPS where our employees are clocking in and clocking out. And actually, in the summer, we do park at Kmart because we employ many more people than 14. And obviously, we can't bring all those people to our home. But this is, you know, just an example of these people are parking at Giant. Some park at Lowe's, some park at Giant, and sometimes the Kmart. But this gives an example of three employees picking up the cars here and then going and picking up employees here. So, you know, we are considerate. He was saying about too many cars. Typically, if an employee comes to the house, they're taking a van out of there.
Right.
So all these vehicles aren't going to be there at the same time.
Not for very long.
Maybe a few minutes. Right. They usually typically just come in and get their keys, their company phone, which tracks everything by GPS. I could do reports if it was needed for later like Jimmy was saying, we don't have any more of the truck deliveries anymore, but we do have UPS and FedEx because we do like to buy things online. So they might come to my house four or five times a week, but they don't deliver supplies. Most of our supplies come from a Simple Place, Walmart, Lowe's, those kind of areas. So I just wanted to make sure that we know that. I stay at home all day long, and I am in and out of my home all day long. And I do have that right. I don't work out of my car. It's a brand new, and I'm excited that I could buy a brand new car, and I don't work out of it. So if I'm coming and going, it's for me. I'm not running employees in and out, none of those things. From time to time, we might have family or guests in our home, but that's it. So I just wanted to make sure. In the summer, we have a pool. We have a big lot. We do have out-of-state people.
You have a lot of friends in the summer.
So I think that really blew this out of proportion was when we put this. What was happening is Jimmy came in his big work van, and I needed to leave to go get the kids. So now Jimmy's backing out on the road. I'm backing out to leave. So now we're holding up the neighbors. So I said, let's do something about it. So now our driveway is big enough for two cars. And then we have it goes all the way down the house. So any one of us can easily back down a little bit and go through there to go out. So we don't need to back out and block the person behind us. So that was the reason why we did that, to make it so we wouldn't have to do that any longer. So that's really all I have. I just wanted to share that information.
Yes, ma'am. Does anyone else like to speak in favor? All right, then. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2036? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2037, Gilbert J. Bernoski, Jr.
This is an application or an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR, General Residential District, for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.101 acres, more or less.